Hello, Rebel! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome your wives, your sisters, your daughters, your girlfriends, fiancés, and even your female pets. What are you looking at while we're talking, mate? I'm not wearing anything.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance.
Rebel Alliance isn't going to go away.
GW. I was going to say GW, and GW in my mind does not mean Gears Workshop.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance.
Anyway,
you're not wrong.
I've never said to you, Fed, that you're wrong.
Yeah, if I lose, it means I wasn't trying. But if I win, I also wasn't trying.
Yeah.
I'm not a tryhard.
I wouldn't even call it a dicing. I would just say that he had more favorable plays than I had.
The other guy was not impressed.
What's the worst that can happen, right? What is the worst that can happen? Ladies and gentlemen, shoot Fed TV, everybody.
Yeah, it's like when you just decide that you don't care about your elves anymore, and you're just gonna throw them at the ball until it works. Things can happen.
Oh, don't get me started. Like 4 minutes. And
did he really just say that right now to me with a straight face?
Don't
did he really just say an hour and a half to 2 hours? Calling this suckers after all.
Well, now that we've figured out that situation, guys, go and cage dive your ogre.
Take it away.
Oh, it's gonna be good, man!
Oh.
Hello, Rebel! And my word, does it feel weird to be saying that after so long. But, yes, we're back. It's us. Happy New Year. I hope you're all doing very well. And, yes, it was kind of someone commenting in my dudes that said, oh my god, this is the first season since the podcast started that there hasn't been a podcast for an entire season. And I was like, you're wrong! Because I can do that. I have the power. So, welcome back to Rebel Alliance. It's episode 100 and something. It's Rebel Alliance 2.0. It's the post-COVID Rebel Alliance. That's where we're at right now. I am, of course, Full Metal. I am joined by my good friend, Mr. Superfed TV.
Hello, everybody. And, I mean, if we didn't, you know, create this podcast to tell people that they're wrong, what else are we doing here?
It is, of course, the best damn podcast you could ever listen to about Blood Bowl. Better than any other podcast you've been listening to, whilst we've been gone, of course. And we're back. And this is hopefully going to become a regular thing. You might take us a few weeks to get into a weekly thing, because, you know, playoffs are next week.
Playoffs?
We've got a certain someone who is very, very knowledgeable when it comes to playoffs. Mr. Haringzord is joining us for our first 2021 episode.
Hello. I have been invited here to be wrong.
No, you get to be right. You're on the podcast, well, you get to be right.
Now, people don't like it when I make predictions.
Yeah, because no. They're usually wrong. Or they get people's teams killed.
Jinxed.
You curse people, man. You hurt their...
I don't mean to.
Their chances and their teams and their souls. I think my favourite example of you cursing someone was when you messaged me a few weeks back. And we were talking about Gerber being, like, destroying G-Man 1 with Bretonians. And you went, look, I don't think there's any possible way I could curse him out of a playoff spot at this point. And then the very next game, three of his players died.
It didn't actually curse him out of the spot, though, at least.
It didn't curse him out of the spot, but it definitely showed the power of the curse, right?
Technically correct is the best kind of correct.
Yes, he is actually locked for first as well, right? Like, he is the G-Man 1 champion.
Oh, I mean, we're shutting G-Man down. There's nothing more to say on the subject. That's it, we're done.
Yeah, G-Man were less impressed than... I think G-Man 1 were less impressed when I tagged them all last week, a few weeks back, and went, oh my god, you've let Bretonians win G-Man 1. What are you all doing? So yeah, how are we, guys? How have we survived Christmas and New Year... and an entire season without Rebel Alliance?
I mean, I've been available, you know. I want to dispel the notion and rumors that have persisted that the reason the podcast has not occurred for the last season is because I lost the Super Bowl. Yes, I did lose the Super Bowl.
There is a sample on the intro, I think, that's perfect for... it's not that you'd call it a dicing, right? It's just that he had more favorable dice.
Oof. I can call that a dicey.
No, I think you can. I think me and Haringzord summed it up best when we were like, yeah, we cast the Super Bowl, we cast the Challenger Cup, and we're like, the Challenger Cup was a lot more fun to cast.
It was a game.
I thought I said that it was that moment in the semi-final where we had the inaccurate pass to the scoring threat, that all worked. And it felt like his name was on the trophy, but realistically, I think it felt like his name was on the trophy for most of the run.
Yeah, I think Big O had that entire experience through the season where they were struggling to make that not his season, right? And you do just see these teams that progress sometimes through divisions, and they do feel incredibly inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of it is they've come off the rails now. I think Sub Star finished 12th in Big O 1 this season, where Big O presumably did its thing where it kills all of the good stuff.
I mean, they literally killed basically his entire team, as far as I'm aware.
I mean, weirdly, Rebel.net shows that his werewolf has played minus 313 games. So I assume there's a bug in there somewhere.
Did you tell me?
I hadn't considered hacking as a possible reason. No.
But I mean, the thing is that you can't, you know, you get the purple name and that's it. Now it doesn't matter what we say. We can't take that away.
No. He goes in the Hall of Fame.
Superfed has probably tried, I assume.
I have purple powers. I mean, if I wanted to, I could, but I don't want to. He definitely won.
Fair. I mean, the thing is, there was a weird bug in the way we set up the Discord roles this season, where it turned out if you were in Big O 1, you were able to assign or unassign playoff coaches roles.
It was a nice bug you found there.
Yeah, so we got rid of that.
Yeah, it happens sometimes with it. Discord is a very weird beast when it comes to the role setup, and especially because we want to obviously have things like playoff coaches showing as playoff coaches, because admins get very upset when they make playoffs and can't flash their red playoff name and stuff.
Yeah.
Some of them, not all of them, some of them. I feel like we've got off track before we ever got on track here.
Welcome to the Rebel Podcast.
So some things haven't changed, ladies and gentlemen. but yeah, speaking of things that have changed, Haringzod, you've been playing Elves for like 2 seasons now, and you've won something, right?
Well, I've won some games.
Didn't you get a Challenger spot?
I did, yeah. We got to the Challengers Cup, so I'm playing in the postseason for once, which is nice.
You got there in your Khemri as well, to be fair.
Hopefully we got to playoffs twice with the Khemri.
Hopefully you get to pick the ball up slightly more often than you did against certain opponents.
Well, I mean, there was a game this season where I rolled 5 straight 1s on pickups, and I'm playing Elves now, so that was grim. But the team's okay. The shame was that we made the Challengers Cup in week 12, and we had a sort of outside shot of the playoffs if I'd won and Huanchi had drawn or lost his game, which didn't happen. Huanchi won his game anyway. But God, my last game, I just took all of the damage. And you know, one of those games where you think, look, I just need to, if I get to do this with no damage, I'm happy whatever the result is, really. Nope. So we took a movement bust on the movement up guy, and we took an armor bust on a blodge step guy, and it's sort of fine, but it was just a bit of a sour way to end what's been a pretty fun season. But I've got Norse up first in the Challenger Cup.
Sounds like the end of my season. I was in a spot where I could end in first or fourth or anywhere in between, and naturally I took a look at it and said, okay, you know what, I don't want second. And that was the most likely one. And so Mongoose made it easy. He won his game, so he got first. And then it was between Rama, me, and Holing for the remaining spots. And I said, well, okay, I don't want to lose, but we'll see how this game goes with Stavikus. Last season I played him as well, and it was a very, very, very easy win in the sense that nothing he did worked. All of my rats stayed alive, and everything I did was easy. And this game was the exact counter to that, where I specifically didn't get a wizard. I bought a bench, I bought an extra Apo, and I bought 2 babes. He had 8 casualties and 3 deaths. That's 11 things that gave him 2 SPP, and just melted my team. Thankfully, no permanent damage, but it was rough. So I ended up in second.
That is a sore result. And obviously, you said you didn't want second. Who do you have to play?
Eliod, I think it is. The passing high elf team from G-Man.
They played last season, right? They were in last off season?
I think so.
Yeah, Eliod's a good coach. He did a undefeated first part of the season. And then I think this season he only snuck in on the last week in three C maybe.
That sounds right.
But yeah, he's a good coach. I think he's well known around CCL.
Yes, I believe I've seen the name a lot on in like CCL streams. So you definitely assume that he knows what he's doing, which should be make for a good game. To be fair,
this year. Yeah, I'm not worried about that. I just don't like the bottom right bracket having no home games really, and so I was hoping for something in the left side of the bracket. So, Nuffle willing, if I make it back to the Super Bowl, I get my home stadium. Might have changed things, but yeah, I don't get that option.
Just got to play it out kind of thing and see where you end up. But that's kind of the game, isn't it, I suppose. So, me, I'm playing Chorf this season, so you can boo if you wish.
Boo.
How did that go?
I have the worst Minotaur in the history of Minotaurs that you made me pick.
I'm sorry, I thought you were playing Chorf.
Yeah, no, Haringzord bullied me into taking a Minotaur, which I feel like I appropriately called peer pressure.
I said, if you're going to play Chorfs, you have to take a Minotaur.
Yeah.
And you said, okay. And that I didn't expect you to pressure. Say okay.
That is peer pressure.
that's peer pressure, you're the guy saying, just have a little smoke, it'll be fine.
Help, help, Metal's being oppressed.
Smoking on a Minotaur.
It's the worst Minotaur that I've ever laid eyes on. It is absolutely terrible in every way, shape, and form, and I hate it with a passion of a thousand fiery burning suns.
Because just call it a Minotaur.
No, it's worse than the average Minotaur. It is truly, truly woeful. In games where I've blitzed and blocked with it, it has still achieved 22% wild animal successes. Like, in multiple games. Not just one game. It wasn't just, this is a bad game, fair enough, kind of thing. No, in multiple games, it has across several games, had 22% success rate on wild animals. Like, you kind of can't play around that. That's over a wizard's worth of TV. You sat there going, I'm actually not going to play for you for 80% of the match.
But he's just burning a one that you would have rolled on a Chorf GFI, you see? He's helping you out.
But I can choose not to do the GFI and still have a working Chorf.
Well, no, that's not what my Minotaur propaganda machine says. So
anyway, aren't you, I've got
just
one,
supposed
I've got,
to have him for strength anyway?
I've got one game left. I've got one game left against Rocky and Augurs, and he has 900k worth of inducements against me and has point blank refused to recruit the 5 Merc Snotlings I asked him to induce for extra SPP for me. I thought it was worth a go.
I mean, you haven't mentioned the 3 claw you've got.
No, I do have 3 claw mighty blow, yeah. But that's not... That's not the...
a small price to
that's
pay.
That's not the woe is me story, Zord. I'm wondering if I make it past for a full season with a Minotaur, I'd be allowed to fire him in the off-season.
It's like you're bulking up, like you're eating a bunch of junk food before you go to the gym. And so
The Minotaur is our hyperbolic time chamber. He's training the team, they're carrying him and they're building up the power.
Exactly. And then once you shed that weight of the Minotaur, then the team will be very, very lean and bulky and
it is safe. A really nice Chorf team, actually, apart from the Minotaur. The Minotaur is the fly in the ointment, I think. But otherwise, yeah. So I'm actually keeping them after this season ends. And I'm playing in... I'm going to probably end up in, like, Big O 3 or something, because I know there's a ton of rerolls in Big O, so... We'll see.
Disgusting.
But I didn't make postseason, if that makes anyone feel any better. But I kind of didn't want to, because I don't think I was ready. I don't think... Yes, I know you say 3 claw might blow and I'm not ready, but I don't really have much else. Like, I don't have enough guard, and my hobgoblin... I've got literally two leveled hobgoblins, one with guard and one with chew hands, so...
I think every season for the last 3 seasons, we've had a 1-season Chorf team make the round of 16.
Yeah, and they don't tend to survive. Like, they make it there, but they don't tend to have the bones of a Chorf team left at the end of it to actually push onwards into the next season.
Yeah, but you've got a Minotaur.
Yeah, and I hate it with a passion. I can't give away a Minotaur in playoffs. I can't give away a Manitor's worth of TV. Like, that would be insane. Like, I'd get someone like Superfed who tries really, really hard and would go, oh, well, that's a free wizard because it's useless, and I get a free wizard. And I'd just lose horribly.
Do you like free wizards?
On the big screen, and everyone would laugh, and I can't have that. I mean, they'd laugh anyway, but at least they'd have a reason then, and I can't give them the reason. Yeah, so that's my season, in a nutshell, is Minotaur bad, Chaos Dwarfs good. In case anyone was in any doubt about taking a Minotaur and a Chaff team, don't do it. Just don't. Don't listen to Haringzod, he's wrong. I told you you got to be wrong in the end. I didn't. I said you were right. Well, god damn it. Where are we? What are we talking about? What's going on?
I think I just cursed myself.
Is there a show format now?
No, I don't think there's a show format at the moment, because honestly, we're going to do this one episode and then we're probably going to take about 2 weeks off while we get the bulk of the early playoff games out of the way, and then we'll maybe check in the middle of playoffs with a podcast, and then we'll kind of come back towards the end, and I think that's the...
Well, the last time we had Zord on, when we didn't have a show format, we came up with the... or he gave us the top 40, and that ended splendidly, so...
Well, actually, that's not true, because the last time we had Zord on and there was no format was the one where we did the first half of our discussion about Blood Bowl 3 and Blood Bowl 2020, and my word, is there some discussion still to be had around Blood Bowl 3 and Blood Bowl 2020, right? I didn't say we had to do it now. I just said at some point, because we need to talk about the teams and stuff, right? And how Zord wants to play the worst team in the history of the game, according to anybody who's ever spoke to me about the teams in Blood Bowl 2020.
I'm pretty sure it's well established that I'm a masochist now, so.
Yeah, why do you hurt yourself so much? Speaking of hurting yourself, actually, we're going to... Before Superfed gets
upset. Are we going to that?
We're going to Zord messaging me and going, I've been a bit ambitious last year with the Christmas Cracker, so this year I'm not going to be ambitious, and it's going to be dead slimmed down and simple, and then it wasn't at all slimmed down or simple.
It was pretty slimmed down and simple.
I read the rules and was like, this is really awesome, but it wasn't particularly slimmed
down. It's popular, but I don't know about slimmed down and simple.
We just build a 1400 TV team. Pretty straightforward. All I had to do was check some results.
Yeah, but it's not just build a 1400 TV team, is it?
I suppose there's a bit more to it than that.
How's it going? Is it, who's winning? Is it all?
It's a good question. I don't think anybody's played a game for 4 days.
Really? Well, I suppose Everyone's been hung over for 4 days.
Well, no, the Chaos Ladder opens, so everybody's playing that now. Honestly, they're like our coaches. They just, you put something shiny in front of them and they go, ooh. And they just do that for a few days, and then you got to come up with something new.
They're Blood Bowl magpies, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Jingle your keys. Blood Bowl coaches are here.
You've always said, Zord, that if you build it, they will come, and I just thought it was a Field of Dreams reference, but it turns out it's fairly true. Honestly, no one had any follow-up to that? Okay, fine.
I'll just let that one lie.
Yeah, okay. You really let that one die a death. I was hoping we could go somewhere with it, and we didn't. But anyway, it looked fun. Who did you have any idea who's winning, or what's going on with it, or who's been popular?
So I believe that currently, it's due to end in on Tuesday, so there's a few days left, but the Orcs and the Norse are pretty close in the top two, and the Ogres are just behind.
The Orcs are like the fun spoiling Grinch boys, aren't they?
Yes, they are, yeah.
And
to be fair, they were played by Lumi, which meant they were very good at spoiling all of the fun.
It did kind of break my heart a little bit that there was a lot of discussion in the chat about which ones were like broken and which ones to play to like how to break the system. And I was like, guys, it's a bit of fun. Can we just like
no
play the spirit? Like stop no. being stop being super fed and just have a bit of fun.
Blood Bowl coaches. I mean, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, they enter a tournament designed entirely around fun and silliness and go, how do we min-max this?
Of course, if I was going to do it, I was like, well, okay, you know, orcs look the thing. I've actually been missing playing a Bash team, though. I haven't played a Bash team in forever.
I mean, you were fond of orcs anyway, weren't you? You did have, I can't remember, Brazzers, was it?
Mm-hmm.
The Orc team, so it's a bit of a blast from the past for you to go back towards the Orcs.
I mean, I 100% admit that I largely just thought up the rules entirely around theme. And then if it wasn't balanced, I just said, oh, I don't care. let it just be unbalanced, all right?
It's okay. This doesn't actually have to be balanced.
I always think the remarkable thing is that what I get lots of pings saying this is unbalanced, rather than people just saying, this is unbalanced, I'm going to take advantage of this and win.
Yeah, but
which I suppose is very noble of people. But
yeah, is it? Or is it them just wanting to show how clever they are because they know that it's unbalanced?
Maybe I think my answer is more diplomatic than yours.
Sorry.
Column A, column B, it's fine.
Are we supposed to be diplomatic on the podcast? I don't. It's been a while. I don't remember. Are we supposed to?
We usually talk around the subjects.
Oh, okay, my
and
bad.
And snicker while we do it.
My bad. I'll try harder next time. Anyway, no. So we've got that Christmas crackery thing. We've got the Chaos Lad Cup Ladder thing, which is proved to be, I'm pretty sure, quite popular, because I keep getting pings in the Chaos Cup Discord about stuff, and I'm like, don't look at me. I got nothing to do with any of this. This Harryzord's the crazy one. You are. You know you are at this point.
Oh, yeah. It's just about managing it.
Managing your crazy. I think that's why you're so into like Rebel and Blood Bowl too, right? Like you use this as your outlet for crazy, so you can go to work and be a normal person.
Yeah, you know, I have a life outside of this game where.
What's that like?
Yeah. It's fine. It's good. I mean, it's been worse this year, but generally speaking, was pretty good before then. But you know, then someone said, "Hey, you can't go and do all of the things you like to do." I'm like, oh, okay.
I'm not entirely sure what your normal job is, but I know it's got something to do with numbers and maths and stuff. And I just
I'm imagining
if you didn't have this outlet, you'd be sat there in the corner of an office going, "What if we put hats on all the numbers?"
Yeah, they look at me funny when I do that in the office. to be honest, I think like I very much view work as I just get paid for that. And then things like this are kind of a bit more of a bit of fun for me.
That's fair.
So, you know, I don't get to come up with silly rules for things at work. I have to be all super serious at work, so, you know.
But you're totally the kind of guy that's, like, pushed for Hawaiian Shirt Day or something, right? Like,
not yet, but that's a good idea.
I just remember your birthday party, your 30th birthday stream, and you did have a dude rocking one hell of a Hawaiian shirt. Yeah,
man. Yeah, that was a long time ago. April, God, I'm nearly 31 now.
I know, right? Like,
I've not done anything since then.
We haven't really had the opportunity, have we?
Other I've said nobody's done anything since April.
yeah, it's been a bit of a year. But you know what? To be fair, right? Like, being like gamers has kind of given us the natural advantage, because it's like everyone's like, "Oh, you've got to stay in the house and stay away from people." And I was like, "Okay, so what's different?" Oh no, I kind of got weekends. Okay, but I know that a lot of the sentiment was kind of along those lines at first, and then it stopped being kind of quite so, like, you know, it became more of a thing. I don't know. Been a long year. But, you know, 2021 now, and we've got ready for a new season of Rebel, ready for more playoffs. We've still got that going on to entertain anybody. So, are we excited for playoffs this year? I feel like I've missed an entire season. It's absolutely flown by.
It has flown by.
Maybe it's because I've been in Big O, but I like, you said that Mongoose has won Rel 1, yeah?
He did, yeah.
Like, I completely was unaware of that happening. I didn't even think to look, because I've been so busy trying to just keep on with keeping on and just get my games in and stuff. And now Mongoose, who's already won a Super Bowl, has now won the bye week in Rel 1, which is pretty crazy. How's his team looking? Is it strong?
It is. Rel 1 was weird. It was very weird compared to past seasons. there was just so many draws, and teams that started out with, you know, four losses still ended up getting out of relegation territory because the overall scores were so low. I ended up with second with, I think, 25 points. Let me double check here. But it was interesting. There was a fair bit of bash, because there always is, but more chores, three chores this season. And Mongoose was king of the chores. And what else? Yeah, I had, no, 23 points. So 23 points got you second place, third place, and fourth place. And Aurel won, which usually you need 26 points to feel comfortable. And 14th and 13th were tied at 10 points. So it was a very, very close season for Rel 1.
Yeah, what is the kind of number spread traditionally? Like, Harry's on, you're pretty good at this. Like, you told me in the past, like, the lowest number of points required to qualify, and it's kind of in that region, right?
Yes, I mean, Division 1 in G-Man, fourth place had 20 points. So if you get more than 20 in a Division 1, you tend to be certainly in the mix.
20 points is not a lot.
It isn't, is it? I mean, that's five losses Crystal Hunter had for those 20 points.
Oh, you know what? Don't talk about Crystal Hunter. He upset me greatly in Clan when we played G-Man. I don't know if you've been following Clan. Are you in Div 1, aren't you, Zod? Because we played first opening week.
Yeah, you beat us. Yeah, don't worry.
I wasn't gonna rub it in. I'm still trying to get over what Crystal Hunter did to Bleeding Hippie, which has made me incredibly upset. We literally, because obviously I don't know if anyone else is aware who doesn't play Clan, but J-Men have kind of come out of nowhere and just stormed up through the divisions and have like unbeaten season after unbeaten season. And Metal were in a position on turn 16 where all Bleeding Hippie needed to do was pass a 2+2+, and he'd have 3-1 Crystal Hunter, and we'd have beaten J-Men and put the nail in their unbeaten season. Kind of, oh well, shush, we're here now. We've come back to Div 1, and we've shown everyone who's boss. Fails one of the 2+s, and then Crystal Hunter on this human team makes 3 3+ dodges, a 3+ pickup, 2 GFIs, a 5+ pass, a 5+ catch, a 5+4+3+ dodge, and then 2 GFIs, all without a reroll to tie the game. And it was like, it was something ridiculous, like a 0.04% chance of occurring. And now Crystal Hunter's not my friend.
Blood Bowl.
It was deeply upsetting. We were so close. We're still doing well. And we've just got the first win of this round against Dash. McNugget and his Orcs have, for the second straight week, beaten up Amazons. So we'll take it. How's Rodder's campaign?
I think we're a bit all over the place, to be honest. We, you know, the old yo-yo clan thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still a thing. We very much do very well in Division 2, and then get a Division 1, and like some of the teams in Division 1 are just absurd. Like, I don't know how O afford their teams. It's crazy. I was like, how do you fit this in the ledger? They've got their bread team's got an Agi-5 leap dude and a mighty blow guy. They've got Mawkers Wood Elves have got a movement 9 catcher and a movement 10 catcher. They've got Wes C's ridiculous necro team that's got a strength 4 movement 9 mighty blow wolf and another mighty blow wolf. And then you've got Papanasty's undead team have got like a strength 4 white and 2 block mummies and all that sort of thing. I'm just looking going, how the hell do you fit all this on the budget? We've got like one pretty decent lizard team, one pretty good orc team, and then we're just scrapping around to see what else we can put together.
Yeah, usually we end up affording like Gerbert, who I would argue has possibly the best lizard team, not just in Clan, but theoretically, I reckon his lizard team is probably the match of any lizard team in Rebel, in terms of skill, like in terms of build versus TV efficiency, I'd argue Gerber probably has the best lizard team anywhere in Rebel at this point. And to afford it, we kind of have to just keep dumping at least one of us on like a really budget team to get through the get it through the doors.
Yeah, which will be you and McNugget, right?
Yeah, usually. McNugget is incredibly good at working with nothing. Like,
yeah, he's Scottish, right? So.
Like, yeah, it's a bag of chips and well wishes. I think is McNugget's usual game plan, and he does it very well. He's very very good at just taking what we've got left and building something really mean out of it.
I mean, orcs are pretty easy to do that, aren't we? We very much just built an orc team around. Right, what if you just give all the black orcs block and guard, and then you just give all of the you give most of the blitzers guard. And then you give one of the blitzers mighty blow, maybe another one of the blitzers mighty blow.
So you're saying orcs are just kind of good.
Yeah, and then what you do is when you eventually level them up, you just give them all stand firm. And then, I mean, what we got now, Shadora's team is our orc team, which is largely our best team. And all of, we've got two of the black orcs now have block guard stand firm. One is block guard dodge. The fourth is just block guard. And you've got a killer with Pro Juggernaut, and then you've got another killer, and then it's just more block guard, stand firm. And you just sort of... The reason it's so strong is because nobody really runs good Chaos or good Nurgle in clan, because it's not really feasible to do it.
They're kind of expensive.
It's expensive, yeah.
Because the way you would have to build a Chaos team, if you're going to make it viable, is like lots of block and guard. And if you're going to do that, you might as well just build orcs.
You've got to find a place to put the Claw Mighty Blow in, and then suddenly the cost goes up, right?
Yeah, and what you do is you put Claw Mighty Blow on a Pestigore, but then he doesn't have block, so he's just not that much of a threat.
And it turns out, like, I think clan made me realize all over again how TV efficient Black Orcs are. Black Orcs are really, really good.
They're just insane. You just build four of them with block guard, and then if you can get stand firm on them, happy days. And then you just look at most of, like, Amazons, just look at them and go, well, I guess we lose. There is nothing we can do about this.
Yeah, I think it's just volume of blocks and inability to continually, you know, eventually you're going to fail a 3+, right?
And you know, all I do is look as an opposing clan and say, if they've got Amazons or if they've got dwarfs, then those teams will face the orcs. And then we will win that game.
And it's funny because those are traditionally like some of the most efficient teams TV wise. So yeah, everybody should have dwarves or Amazons.
Yeah, we've got a dwarf team as well called Diggy Diggy Hall, played by Finns. And Finns has been a very welcome addition to Clan Metal because A, he doesn't lose quite as much as my Stairs did. Sorry, my Stairs. I know you don't. I know you don't listen to the podcast anyway. But
wow,
my God,
direct fire
for a Super Bowl champion! You lost a lot of clan games, my friend.
Holy, he was just saying the other day how he's kind of phoned in Blood Bowl since he won. So
yeah, no, he trust me, he was on our clan. He really, really did. We gave him a Wood Elf team, and then we gave him EIC because he always got his War Dancers killed in like week one. And then we still had to find a chance to give him new blood, and then he'd still end up with like a quarter of a team. And we'd be like, "What? You're good at Wood Elves. You won a Super Bowl with Wood Elves. Stop it."
Yeah, I mean, I had to stop running rat teams. Eventually, we literally run out of rats.
I've heard that T-Self has kind of been banned from clan rats. Like,
yeah. He's on Wood Elves now, which I'm sure will end roughly the same way. But, yeah.
Being able to dodge linemen away is so good, and rats just can't do it.
The 2+ dodge is actually a really big deal, I think, ultimately.
I mean, I had to pack a new blood every season just for the rat team. Because it will eventually die, at which point we just replace it with another whole rat team.
Just push them off to one side. Plop it in new one.
God, it was like Vermintide.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, so we're having fun, I think. It's a very tight division, Division 1 this season, so I think BB Tactics are doing incredibly well.
Yeah, well. They are 2-0 down to us, though, so...
Well, I love that you're beating them. Please continue...
But we haven't won a game yet, and I think we were 2-0 up against O and managed to not win that. So
I'm just saying,
nothing.
Like, just beat them, yeah?
No, we're 2-0 up. I have sacrificed myself to their really, really scary Chorf team. So I'm hopeful that the rest of the clan might have everything wrapped up before I get to that game.
It's always the way, isn't it? You always go, this is the game I don't want to play, so I'm going to schedule as late in the round as possible to see if I can induce a second Apo instead of something that wins me the game.
I mean, yeah, that's not the approach I've gone for, but it is how it's played out. We've not got a time set yet. So, you know, if the situation did come about that we already had 3 wins by the time we got to me playing that Chorf team, I am likely to induce another apothecary and likely to maybe not fight it too hard.
There might be like a, ooh, I might just stay down this turn kind of situation. Which turn?
Not really much need
all
to.
All of them. Suitfed, I assume you still hate Clan with a Passion.
Yeah. It's its own thing now. It's a satellite. It's fine. I have no desire to play in Clan.
It's a shame, because I genuinely...
Oddly enough, though, Clan, like, does have, you know, some similarities to some of the changes that are proposed with Blood Bowl 3.
Well, I was going to be honest. Like, I'm surprised that you weren't more interested in Clan, because it's very much about, like, power playing and, like, metering the heck out of the system, right? And taking what you've got and making something broken with it.
Yeah, I think if I was a Clan leader, I probably would have been more all-in on it. But because I just kind of joined a couple teams...
Yeah.
And was given what I was given, then it was less of a thing. But I also, I don't know. It was meh.
Fair enough.
I'd rather claim all the credit for my achievements.
Yeah, fair. Like, for example, coming second in Rell this season. Big result, by the way. Because I generally
winning
thought,
last season, second this season, yeah, who knows?
I genuinely thought you were kind of done. Like, because your team got a bit murdered, right? Like,
yeah,
it's been a pretty rough couple of seasons in terms of what has actually left being left alive
just
on the team.
Keep my same 3 gutters and my 1 storm vermin, and they keep chugging along. I'm sure I'm due to lose something. I'm sure, but it hasn't happened yet.
I always feel like rats, like good rats at the bleeding edge of like performance, are just like 1 bad game away from retirement.
Yeah, I think that's valid.
But Gerber did it this season to Crystal Hunter. I'm sure you're aware of this, Zod, because you recapped Div 1 this season, didn't you?
I did, yes.
And Gerber did very bad things to Crystal Hunter, I believe.
Gerber was just... I kept going look at games, and then Gerber won again. What's happening here is Brett's. Why are they winning all the time?
How do we come back from Brett's winning one of our regional Div 1s? Like, is it good for us that Blood Bowl 3 is coming so we can shut down?
It was a weird season where, because in G-Man 1, it was basically Strength 5. If you were Strength 5 Tentacles, you died in Division 1 this season.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Bash... meta, the Bash kill meta specifically, ITV, Nurgle, and Chaos, has really taken a step back from where it was, you know, 4 seasons ago, 5 seasons ago, where it was on the rise. And now teams are built around it. Like, we keep seeing, even in Rel, like, the Rat teams come up, or the teams that are just made to play well with inducements and doing well with inducements. It feels like a meta shift has occurred.
Yeah, you say that, but I've been down in Big O this season, and I don't know if you've seen Big O 1, but their top 4 coaches, their top 4 teams and the coaches is, number 1, Jamis McGamis, Nurgle. Number 2, Yabby, Nurgle.
That team's been around forever, though.
Number 3, Destruction Derby, Orcs. Number 4, XS, coming back to playoffs, Orcs again. So it's kind of Bash all the way down there.
There does seem to be a little bit of a resurgence towards Orcs.
Well, yeah, I mean, it I was... It,
orcs
I'm just gonna
orcs
say,
were not popular 2 seasons ago, for sure.
It was close. It was really close down there, because XS is tied with Gorin and Truk on 24 points each, and they didn't quite make the cut on tiebreakers. And that's Lizards and Dwarves. So it's very, very bash heavy down in Div 1. Down under in Div 1, even. As opposed to down in Div 1, because it's up in Div 1. So yeah, Big O sending the murder. Even if you guys... I suppose, yeah, then again, like Superfed, you did come second to Chorfs. So I suppose there's plenty of murder on its way, right?
True.
What else is there?
Ramaset Tile.
Really? Wow, that's an achievement and a half. The High Elves making it through Div 1? Usually they just
and Holing's Wood Elves.
Wow.
Yeah, so 3 out of 4 Rel teams are going to be edgy.
That's interesting, because Rel kind of have always been the big bad murder teams, traditionally, and now you kind of, you've got a Chorf team and then a bunch of Agi.
Do you remember when Rel was the Lizard League?
I do fondly remember that it having the nickname Reptilian Eternal League.
That was before my... Well, actually, that's not true. I was able to close that chapter when I brought my orcs up, and we destroyed Eisen Mike's Lizards.
I mean, didn't Eisen Mike's Lizards destroy themselves at one point? I remember Nosedive, murdering them with rats.
There's a whole advert about it.
Yeah. He died a lot.
Yeah, he really did. And then G-Man is sending, obviously, you said they're sending Brett. What else are they sending, Zod?
G-Man's got some big teams. So we've got, obviously, Gerber's Brett's. But they're carrying 9 perms now, that lot.
And not the haircut.
Yes.
The perms maybe are the your team, I assume, because of the Newcastle United reference, right?
Nice. Good one. If you remember the Challengers Cup final last season, you might remember Carlo Sibbs' Dark Elf team that lost to Carnet A in the final, but they had that Strength 5 Dark Elf blitzer with Mighty Blow. They are back. And this time, well, if you thought Strength 5 Dark Elf with Mighty Blow was good, they've added to that a Strength 4 Agi 5 Witch Elf with Wrestle Tackle, a Strength 4 Lodge Step Blitzer with Dive and Tackle and Fend, and an Agi 5 Blitzer with Guard and Lodge Step.
I am vaguely aware that he's basically spent an entire season rolling ridiculously good level.
The team is filth.
So, if he did well with the one really good started player, I assume it's only going to get worse for everybody when he's got more, right?
Yeah.
Good advert for the Challenger Cup, though.
Well, I mean, he's done very well, to be fair. And, it does prove the value of the Challenger Cup, that team was in Division 4 last season and was clearly able to compete in Division 1 because he finished second. So why bother wasting your time going up to Division 3 and Division 2? Just get yourself up to Division 1, get the playoffs that way. There you go.
Indeed. And he's there. So what else we got?
Largo's Orcs. Surprise, surprise. Four seasons, four playoffs.
Wasn't it technically... I mean, I know obviously he had 3 and 3 up to this point, and he was going for the fourth, but didn't he have a bit of a rough season at times? I know Gerber was saying he wasn't winning as much as you'd expect him to.
Yeah, I mean, the division all the way through the season, other than Gerber running away with it, the rest of the division was ridiculously close. I'm talking there was maybe 4 points between second and 13th.
If anyone's wondering, by the way, why I keep referencing it, talking about Gerber telling me stuff, it's because we've spent in our spare time this season, we've been playing a lot of Dead by Daylight, and he's been constantly whinging about the state of G-Man 1. So, that's why I kind of have all this insider intel as to little tidbits of what's going on. That's why I keep referencing him as opposed to any other reason. That, and he won G-Man 1 with Brett because G-Man 1 sucked.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, it was very, very close. Eventually, Carlos and Largo went on sort of a winning streak towards the end of the season. So they very much pulled away and secured those spots. But certainly around week 6, it was in the region of 2-2-2 for most of the division. It made it very hard to recap because you couldn't really, you're just saying, well, if he wins, he could go up to fourth or third. And if he doesn't win, then nobody else will win, so we'll probably be in the same scenario next week.
Like, it sounds like Rel 1 was the same with all of the draws, right? Like,
there was a lot of draws, and it was hard to see. I think originally I had an early lead, and then Mongoose did, and then we both kept like drawing or trading out with teams that were at the very bottom of the bracket. I got a win over Mongoose, which ended up being a big help. But yeah, it was, there was no, I don't know, there was no like big stomps of teams that we usually see.
Fair enough. And like, talking about draws as well, like, Big O has been no stranger to me either. Obviously, in this discussion, I'm repping Big O because I'm currently playing there, and we don't have a resident Big O coach otherwise. So if you, that's where I'm coming from. And we're going to get on to the lower divisions in a second to see if you guys have got anything notable coming. But yeah, in the top four that I mentioned earlier in Big O, they've got 19 draws between them, which I think tells you how tight all of the regional Div 1s have been. What you guys got coming up from lower divs?
So G-Man G-Man 2A continued its tradition of having a weird team win that, because Kislev won it this time. For some reason, G-Man 2A has been won by Bretts that weren't Gerber twice. Did Gerber win it last season? No, it was Gerber last season, sorry. So there's been Bretts have won 2A twice. Kislev have now won it once. There's always a weird team wins that specific division for some reason.
Is that Cornite?
It is Cornite, yeah. Singe is following him as well with his big Nurgle. And also Dave is in the playoffs for the first time with his Necro.
It's good to see Kislev in the playoffs always.
They are
they're never gonna do anything too crazy, but it's still fun to see them.
We've got some Amazons from 2B. They finished fourth and got the wild card spot there. Then we have... The interesting one is actually in Division 3A, where Chug Manmilk and his Underworld, that have been around for a lot of seasons and have been in Division 2 for a while.
Are they still gone?
Yeah, well, they were in Division 2 for a while and then came down to Division 3. And then suddenly, for no reason that I can really think of, have won 11 games this season and got 34 points.
That's pretty big results.
I'm just like, where did that come from?
Yeah, that's actually pretty huge, right? Like, okay.
Yeah, so that's Underworld coming from Division 3. There's like a 2000 TV Dark Elf team coming from there as well. There's more Underworld from 3B. So we're sending two Underworld teams, which is very unusual.
Traditionally not great in terms of playoff performance. Some of them, I think, was it Gdenix who's probably been the best performing Underworld?
Yeah, I think he did last 16, was it?
Otherwise,
yeah. They usually murder their way through, so somebody has to suffer them. But
what have you, it's Fed, I'm assuming as you've picked up, this is the way we're going with this conversation, so you've maybe been looking at your lore divs in REL. What have you got coming up? From the two.
A lot of Necro. As far as tier 2 goes, no surprises. Agrain on Chaos Dwarfs making the cut.
Agrain's just a very good coach, right? Like, it doesn't seem to matter what he plays, he does rather well.
I feel like he's made more playoffs than missed. Not for Science, we'll be back with the same High Elf team, but this time with no Legends. I know it's a miracle, but they've all died.
Okay, yeah, but, okay, no Legends, but how many Perms?
That's a valid question. 4 on one player.
What?
And another 2 on other players.
4? What is this player?
Bertoxulus has a guard blodge lineman, and he has 2 movement buffs, an agi bust and an AV bust.
How is it still alive? How is it still
alive? A strength 3 black orc with AV 7. And blotch. I don't know. But yeah, that's
not
the
for
thing.
Science, I love you, man. You're crazy, but I love you.
And then Debt Monkey on his orc team, practicing permanent. They're going to be back.
I do like them. He's a good buddy of mine, and it's really nice to see him do well.
Shedorah had a massive season with only one loss on his Skaven team, and Soul of Dragonfire, because you know it wouldn't be a playoff without him making it with an elf team and getting a first round exit.
Usually in a giant pool of blood, right? Like it doesn't tend to go easy for him.
The slew of Necro include El-Saud, Stubings, who's lost three werewolves this season, including in round 13. Michaels is back in the playoffs with Necro again. And our name is Legion, also with the Necro team. And CT Jester, also with the Necro team.
So you can feel free to hate Ariel entirely for all of the Necro guys. That's... If you're listening and you don't like Necro, send all your hate mail to Ariel.
I was going to say the Superfed,
but I knew
rats.
People wouldn't take that far too seriously, and you'd end up with masses of PMs in the morning.
Yeah. That's true. I also had nothing to do with them playing Necro. I would rather them not play Necro. I don't like playing against Necro. Fins and his Skaven made it. And
we've got. Okay. How about this as a name?
Luke. 4-4-4-4-4 with what else? Go ahead.
We've got Schleiss in playoffs in Division 2 from Big O.
I play Schleiss.
With his Lizardman team, who have 33 points, which is pretty damn impressive, really. And there's some scary old teams in this division, including Mr. Monsters, Zoltan's Wards, Chaos Dwarves, who are going to Challengers this season. Off the back of a 1-point difference between them and Cat Attackman's Rackalmania. The third number going through from Div 2 there, it'd be Surge and his Dark Elves. So, a fairly mixed bag of Lizards, Dark Elves, and Chaos coming up. With Goblins just missing the cut with, I said just. They had 20 points, but they were 6th. And Dalaric is such a fun Goblin coach to watch. So, a little bit of a shame he didn't do it that little bit better. And then Div 3 is sending Lizards again, with Capcaster and Synergy's Necro team, Schnitz. I've got to be very careful how I pronounce this. Schnitz and Giggles is coming on up. And then Div 4 is a name you'll all recognize. Remember when we used to say, like, the way Papanasty plays Orcs, he should just play Chaos? He's finally taken it to heart and he's been playing Chaos. He's got a 31 point score in Big O Div 4, so he's going through. So he'll be, once again, he's a bit of a regular name in playoffs and in the postseason in general. So we'll get to see what he can do with Chaos. Zod, give us some more G-Man info.
What have we got from the fours? We've got Kislev, Chorf, Skaven, Chaos, Skaven, Brett, Dwarfs, and Lizards.
There's a dwarf team. That's an unusual race to see.
Yeah, they've gone 10-2-0 up to this point, which is pretty good. And it's not particularly, you know, they've got a strength 4 blodge runner, which is good, but it's not like the full Ekrund run and error experience.
It's not a vampire.
No. Other than that, they've got an Agi 4 blitzer with guard, which is like they've got one troll slayer who has sidestep.
Whoa.
Which, I mean, makes sense when you think about it.
That's a first level.
Yeah.
Why?
Whoa. Well, I mean, you know, when you think about it, it makes sense because it means he can't be counter-served. But
yeah.
Whether that makes it a good pick as
you
a first level
you know what else stops you from being counter-served? Like, stand firm.
Or a GFI.
Look, sidestep is literally stand firm with extra steps, right?
Well, yeah. By definition, I would say. So yeah, it sounds like there's a good mixed bag across. Any other names that people should know? That any other big names out there that you haven't named the coaches?
In terms of playoffs, like we've talked about Elyod, who'll be one to watch. Kanuki, I think, makes it for the first time. It's always nice. I'd give a shout out to Luke 4444 as well, who's always been a big fan of the playoffs as a spectator.
Yeah, he always rocks up and yells about how many times like Rel have won and stuff, right? Like he's very much a passionate supporter of his region.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, I like to see guys like that get a shot.
Oh yeah, for sure. I wasn't saying it critically. I was just saying it's nice to see, like, obviously his. Hopefully someone's going to show up and talk about how many games Luke's won when he gets into the third round or something. That'd be kind of cool.
It was that when Ann Dawson qualified a few seasons ago, and in G-Man it was just the happiest day ever. Leibniz, you might remember, got to the quarterfinals with that Amazon team, I think, last season, and ruined Travel Scrabble before eventually losing the game. He's back with Wood Elves this time, which means he's probably one to watch. He went 5-0-0 in his play-ins division. So let's have a look at that Wood Elf team. That's packing a Agi 5 movement 9 strip ball tackle war dancer. So that's quite good. It's also got an Agi 5 catcher with sure hands. So yeah, that's a team to watch. Don't want to draw that one. Other than that, no, it's a lot of new names, I would say.
Do you know who Big O? They've, I don't know if you've seen this yet, Zord. Who the Big O planes are sending?
Yeah, I have seen five this.
Is Warecaster. None other than Warecaster is coming to playoffs.
What's he packing this time?
It's the return of the phobias. He's gone back to undead.
That doesn't answer the question because he's
no. I was going to get that. for Warecaster. You'd think it's fairly tame. And then you get like a white with jump up, which somewhat is like the long game. He's going to get piling on and mighty blow and stuff eventually. So having jump up, you know, it's a rough ordering because it doesn't really help you level very much. But it's, you know, it's there. But and then his zombies, he's got a block tackle zombie and nothing else. No, none of his zombies and skeletons are currently leveled.
With the greatest of respect to Warecaster, who is a perfectly fine, if not a little weird on his level ups, Blood Bowl coach. This team is not going far in the playoffs.
Well, we aren't. And when you say a little weird, I was saving the best for last. All right, like he's got.
Oh, I see what it is.
He's got a block Shuahan's ghoul. That's perfectly fine. He's got a block tackle ghoul. That's also perfectly fine. He's got a block pass ghoul, which is starting to get a bit spicy.
I might have taken guard.
I think you'd definitely have taken guard on the next one. He's got a mighty blow block in that order. So he rolled a double and took mighty blow before he ever had block. A mighty blow block ghoul.
Never change, Warecaster. Never change.
Right, I played Warecaster in the first part of the season before, obviously, when we saw who made the cut to planes and whatnot. And this mighty blow ghoul wrecked me. It was running up to bull centaurs and chinning them and injuring them and stuff. And I was just sat there going, this is ridiculous. This shouldn't happen. And in the end, the only way I managed to force a draw out of that game was by charging my Minotaur at the ball that was on the floor in three tackle zones and just rolling like a 6+ and going, it's my ball now. You can't have it. It's on a Minotaur. No.
Yeah, sounds like the Minotaur was pretty good.
No, if it had done anything all game, I probably wouldn't have needed him to roll a 6+ pickup.
It's as if Warecaster gets his team and he's got, say he's got 12 players on his team. He takes 6 of them to one side and he says, you're my team. And then he takes 6 of them to the other side and he says, right, lads, Chaos Cop rules for you lot.
I think he takes the other 6 to one side and goes, would you like some drugs? would you like some magic mushrooms? Would you like some, like, you know, LSD or something, and just see what you turn out? And it's wonderful. He's fun to watch, so he's gonna be entertaining.
He definitely doesn't say no to a double, that's for sure. Ever.
No, sometimes he should.
Oh wow, they're playing the Underworld first.
Oh, that's gonna be,
it's gonna be such a weird game.
Wow.
The winner of that goes to face Jamis.
Oh, well, I don't think either of them want to win.
Dear me.
Jamis is quite... Well, I don't know. Jamis, I think he got...
Jamis has not had the best playoff runs.
Yeah, and I can't remember if it was him or Yabby, but one of the Nurgle teams down here got a bit trimmed towards the end of the season.
I mean, he's still rocking.
I think the Underworld team should expect to win that game.
Yeah, it was. I think it. I don't know. They're looking all right. I think it was a minus armor on a Nurgle warrior is kind of unfortunate. And then I think it was a best Pestigor died, or one of his better Pestigor died for a Yabby in like week 12 or something. But that's what Big O do. They find all of their qualifying teams and then go, what would be really fun is if we killed all of your best players. Or at least hurt them. I don't know why they do this, but it's becoming a bit of a tradition. I don't know. It's just what they do.
We should mention two-time Super Bowl champion Holy Cricket.
Yeah, I was going to say, he and the Red Joker is the other one that's down lower that is making a playoff reappearance on Wood Elves, and Horny Cricket is playing High Elves, so there'll be some more agi stuff coming out of Realms.
Sorry, what's Horny Cricket playing?
High Elves.
What? Why? Why is everyone playing High Elves all of a sudden? Zod, have you started a trend?
I hope not.
It's pretty stock standard. Lots and lots of dodge. He's got one Mighty Blow Blitzer and one Diving Tackle Lodge Step Blitzer. It's nothing unique, but it's Horny Cricket on the team with Agi 4, so...
I mean, it's Horny Cricket, full stop, so...
Yeah.
He's pretty good at Blood Bowl. You can tell, because he's, like, won the Super Bowl.
He's in a weird section of the bracket as well, where it is, I mean... The four teams in that section of the bracket are Dark Elf, High Elf, Pro Elf, and Wood Elf.
Yeah, that was the one I was aiming for. Ordinary Elves is the real one. Representative over there, and they're good with inducements. So he's got a strength 1 agi 5 catcher, and it is the thing.
I mean, the strength 1, yeah, it sounds bad on paper, but at the same time, usually your catcher shouldn't need the strength value. Something's usually gone wrong if your catcher's either getting punched or punching things, right? Like, it's not your game plan to rely on that. Would you say?
Oh yeah, it did things in our match for sure.
And if the Agi-5 is so very good that I can understand why you'd keep it rostered at least until you're out of playoffs one way or the other.
Well, I mean, just it's like a gutter runner. I mean, movement 8, and then he's got sure feet, and what's the other one? Sprint, sure feet, leap.
Agi-5,
yeah,
it's. Terrible.
A very mobile piece.
But yeah, so I'm looking forward to playoffs. I think I'm quite excited as well because I've got all of Saturday to myself. The first Saturday of playoffs, so I'm like, I'm gonna get in on some casts here. This should be good fun. Because it starts on Wednesday, and to some consternation, there was a little bit of discussion back and forth. We've done something a bit different this season, haven't we, Zod?
Yeah, we just extended, because of Christmas and New Year, really, we just extended the final week.
But not by as much as usual, and it upset some people.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talk about whether we should have done the draw after all of the games were played. Some of us disagreed with that assessment. And ultimately, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it either way. For me, as the person who does the draw, it provides more entertainment if I can give more of the teams when I'm making the draw itself, as opposed to saying G-Man 3A 4th versus G-Man 2A 2nd. Doesn't mean a lot at that point, right? But ultimately, it's still the same thing we're producing.
Yeah, essentially, you've got to produce a bracket, and that's the long and the short of it, right? You've just got to go through a certain series of steps to produce that bracket.
I mean, we did it before the season even started for years, and then switch it to the end.
Yes. We did. I don't know, we found it kind of... I think it keeps... There's arguments both ways. Like, it's really nice knowing exactly what you need to do to play it. But we also ended up with this really silly... For a long time, like this... almost like game of chicken, where you'd go, if you knew from week one that you were due to play like Rel 1 second or Rel 4 first, you'd maybe kind of start going, do I want to win a little bit less hard occasionally? And you got some silly games playing out towards the end of the season where you had teams that didn't seem to want to win on both sides.
I don't think that would be that prevalent.
It's not. It's hard to make a playoff spot, especially with the way we've reconfigured things. But I have no interest in following other divisions until I know which ones are in my bracket. And so, for me, I like to, you know, see who I might potentially be playing, and then suddenly I care what happens in G-Man 3C, whereas, you know...
I mean, I'll be perfectly frank. I can't remember why we made the change. I know we had some good rationale behind why we made the change, but I can't remember exactly why it was.
Honestly, I think at first we forgot to do it at the start of the season.
That's what it was.
And then I just said...
Was it we had a particularly rough division day and kind of went, I don't want to look at any of this for a little
while? Yeah, I think we just forgot to do it. And then when it became apparent that we hadn't done it, I said, okay, well, why don't we try? I'll do a draw at the end of the season. And then everybody went, we love spreadsheet streams. Let's do that again.
They really like spreadsheet streams.
I was like, okay, fine. Well, I can do that again. That's not really a problem.
It certainly is, as you say, a little... I think it's a little more entertaining when you can go... You get to play Superfed, or you get to play Papanasty, depending on whether you win or come second or whatever, rather than you get to play this division position that is going to be determined in 30
weeks. What doesn't work, though, is waiting until everything's played and then adding a week to, you know, get all that sorted. This week, it just worked out perfectly because of the holiday.
You know this.
But normally, we just don't have that time.
It does feel a little bit less pressure, I think, the way we've managed it. Because obviously, Christmas fell perfectly for us. And we would usually give a two-week time out at Christmas. We just went, I said to Zod, why don't we just do 10 or 11 days? And then we'll have 3 days to actively build the playoff bracket and get everything sorted and...
Yeah, I've turned off the goddamn robot this season as well.
That's good. That's very good. Because we don't want that auto-start and then having to rebuild the entire bracket again.
No, that was not fun. We're too clever for our own good sometimes.
Yeah. that was very... But you know what? If it does happen this time, we're probably going to have more lead-in time to fix it. Would be the plus side.
So I'm currently tickets to go out today or tomorrow. Major Byte's already been doing some, actually.
Yeah. The tickets are... Major Byte's been really on point with all of like the playoff bracket stuff. And every time there's been... There was a couple of mistakes, wasn't there? And they got picked up rather quick as well. With cutoffs and such. I believe someone was saying. There was definitely an error where some cutoff was showing incorrectly or something on one of the...
Yeah, it's, as always, Rebel.net is normally very much on the ball. It's only a couple of minor things.
I have to say, I love the new... Again, we're coming back to clan, sorry, Superfed, but you haven't seen it, but the new clan draft tool is magic. So good. Like, new as in, it was there last season was the first season with it, Zod?
I think so, yeah.
Major Byte put clan on the rebel.net, and for anyone who hasn't seen it, there's an entire, like, it's only clan leaders really who'll have looked at it, but there's an entire tool where after you do the draft in Discord, you just go and set the matchups on the website. You like match the two teams together and click on any powers that got used, and then once both leaders have checked it's correct and hit confirm, it auto populates a Reddit post tagging every pair of coaches in a separate message so they can schedule after that message. And it's just, it's so good. It's like, it's one of those things that you go, how did we get by before we had stuff like this? Like, because it's really, really good. And once again, Major Byte, I'm assuming in the postseason voting, is probably going to get some Coach of the Season award or other. Because he's amazing. You know he is, Zod. You're good too.
I know, yeah. My golden rule is nobody's allowed to criticize Major Byte.
Yeah, it's the one thing is, if you upset Major Byte, you've made a boo-boo.
You're out, you're gone, as far as I'm concerned.
that's how you burn your bridges in Rebel. You upset Major Byte. It's quite hard to do as well, because he's pretty easy going. Right, what are we talking about? Are we talking about
playoffs? We could, Challengers Cup, I'm in that, that's nice.
Who else is, any other big names? We've got Mr. Monster, as I say, Zoltan's Wards. There's a Chaos Dwarf team kicking about, and they're quite mean.
Travel Scrabble's in it. He was in G-Man this season, he didn't quite make it. He finished fourth, but didn't quite get the playoffs, so he's in the Challengers Cup this time.
I never quite know where Travel Scrabble is. He's always around, but I can never figure out which region he's playing in at any given time. I think Gengar's doing the same thing. They're on like this world tour of Rebel.
Who else we got? We've got Major Byte made it, so it's Major Byte's first postseason appearance, which is very nice. We have MB Carmack has made it. I think it's the first time he's gone to one. He's the esports guy.
Yeah, that's awesome. He should be having a lot of fun with that. It'd be interesting to see if he can deliver in a major tournament, given that his entire job is delivering major tournaments.
Yes. Gun aside, Germany Rick has returned after being unwell, so we're happy about that. Synergy. I'm just checking what else is on my list that we sort of know from these things. Mr. Majorison, who won Beer League, is in the Challengers Cup.
Synergy's not in the Challengers Cup. Synergy's made playoffs.
He's in the Challengers Cup.
Are you sure? Because
yeah,
Rebel.net...
It's wrong. Big O3 don't have that many tickets.
Okay. We'll have to have a word with Major Byte. I knew there was a mistake somewhere. I just didn't know. Still
trying. Sace, T-Self, both in the Challengers
Cup.
Sace
is playing Khemri again, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Back to his bony roots.
I'm quite looking forward to that because I think Sace is one of the best Khemri coaches we've got in.
He does Khemri very well, and I always remember him saying that the way I did Khemri gave him palpitations. So.
he's a little unhappy with his draw though. He got one turning rats.
Yeah, he's always unhappy with his draw. He literally hates me.
I was going to say, of course he's unhappy with the draw. Haringzor did the draw.
I never give him a good draw.
You really do have it in for him, don't you? It's
Oh,
he claims Goblins, you do.
Goblins won the Stunty Cup for the third straight season.
Which one this time?
The Knob Goblins.
And that'll be a fun one to cast.
The Rebel Miners champion is between Lizards and Nurgle.
I don't think casting that match tomorrow.
Yeah, that game's tomorrow. The winner of that would go into the same section of the bracket as me, and would be a potential round of 32 opponent, so that would be quite good fun. Again, I'm very much just... I wanted to make one of the post-seasons. We've done that. Now the target is very much maybe don't lose horribly in the first round.
And is that how the target's going to continue?
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Right. Well, I mean, remember the last time with the flipping Andy Devo game, I was 3-0 down at half-time. That was a doozy.
But yeah, speaking of, again, of the Miners very briefly, it is, I'm casting that one tomorrow, because I like to get kind of raise the Rebels' awareness of the Miners final. I think, you know, the casters down there do a great job, and I'm not trying to, like, stand on people's toes, but they don't quite have the reach into Rebel that I do, and obviously the Miners final winner gets their own Challenger Cup ticket, so it's kind of, I think we always have thought it was quite important for them to get a shot on the big screen, as it were. So I'll be joined by two of the guys that have been working to cover the Miners playoffs, which is Chimera and Combination Bean. If anyone's listening from the Rebel, or who knows about the Rebels casting, or has been paying attention to the Miners playoffs, we'll be there tomorrow at 4 o'clock UTC. In the afternoon.
I was about to ask what time, and you've just answered that.
So if you're listening to this, and it's not yet been 4 p.m. UTC tomorrow, which is Sunday, the 3rd, come along and join us on my stream, and we'll watch some Miners final. Should be good fun. they get that. Obviously, the one thing that I'm relying heavily on the Miners casters for is, sorry, the Rebel casters for is letting me know actually what's been going on with these teams and how they've their season's gone, because I've barely been able to watch my own division.
It's Lizards versus Nurgle, right? Lizards invariably do very well in the Miners.
Yeah, and then usually get smashed horribly in the first season in Majors because they tend to go into a division where people have had time to build Claw.
Yeah.
The continued cycle of Claw, which may be going away with, well, is basically somewhat going away with Blood Bowl 3, right?
I'm just going to let slide the very obvious transition into, yes, Lizards are very good at a certain skill level.
I was waiting for it.
I knew you were.
The
super fence painted that there is no Lizard skill expression. If there's no Lizard skill expression, why does Gerber never lose in Clan?
I mean, there's all kinds of things that make that very easy and possible. And it's not that there's no skill expression, it's just that they allow themselves a very favorable situation. One might call them overpowered.
Really? Is that where you're hanging your hat? You're in certain circumstances,
like Clan, where you are inhibiting and disincentivizing Claw teams like Nurgle and Chaos, which do really well against Lizards. It would make sense that they would be pretty strong.
I know Dire Sickfish keeps telling me to delete them from Clan, and I keep ignoring him.
Yeah, I mean, if I ever get around to playing
much love, Diane, much love.
On the Blood Bowl 2020 rules, I think Lizards look pretty good.
Rough start, though, right? Like, their start is significantly worse.
Yeah, but all the teams have a rough start now.
But I can casually get an agi up on, or an agi up or a movement up on a skink at will.
That's fair.
I'll take that.
Zod, you've been suffering with Necro, haven't you, in the new system, to see how they in tabletop. Was it you said you?
Yeah, I played a tabletop game with a friend. I've got the new tabletop edition, and we had a, he's not very experienced with the game at all, but we had a little friendly match. He was Necro and I was Old World Alliance. And Necro just weren't very good.
Yeah, but I've been told that All World Alliance are the worst thing that's ever happened to a team on tabletop ever, and even goblins and halflings have more playability and chance to win.
Yeah, they weren't as bad as Necro.
I don't know why people are so insistent that they're this bad, because honestly,
they're pretty bad.
They're pretty bad.
No, All World Alliance, I don't know. They're not. Yeah, but they're not like worse than halflings.
No, I mean they're like vampire level of. You're just hamstringing yourself for no real reason. Like, vampires aren't a stunty team. Underworld aren't traditionally a stunty team. But people still play them because they want the challenge or they just want to hamstring themselves, right? I would put Old World Alliance into that bracket.
Yeah.
But they're probably not quite as interesting to play.
I mean, they've got stuff going on, though, right? Like, they've got things.
I mean, nothing that isn't a human team or a dwarf team or a halfling team.
Yeah, but you usually can't play humans and dwarves at the same time.
Would you want to?
Well, dwarf linemen are better than human linemen.
Well, they don't have block now.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
They've got brawler, but they don't have block.
Yeah, no. So.
At least you're not playing Black Orcs, because everyone's playing Black Orcs.
Yeah, I mean, the problem that Necro had, I think I've said this on the Discord a few times, it's the whites changing to rates, which fundamentally functions for 90% of the game in the same way. It's a piece with block that probably does the blitzing if you're not blitzing with a werewolf. And, you know, foul appearance occasionally does a thing, and sidestep has its uses. But problem is when your opponent scores on turn 6 or turn 7 and you have a chance to win the game if you can 2-turn touchdown to make it 1-1 at half time, and then you 8-turn the second half. Now Necro have pretty they've got players that can do that in their current form. They've got whites that can be scoring threats. They've got werewolves that can be scoring threats and don't even need to go that far up the field. But when you remove the whites, you've suddenly got two werewolves and nothing.
Well, you've got ghouls.
No, well, you don't at low TV. You don't.
You don't.
You really don't.
I feel like you have to. Because
you don't.
They took whites. Someone cut the white hands off.
You wouldn't trade a white for a ghoul, ever.
I mean, I think you would if it was your only chance to score. I think.
Yeah, but you can't afford them at low TV. So the problem is that as a necro coach now, you cannot let your opponent score. Because realistically, I can only send forward two werewolves, and let's be honest, most of my team can't keep up to protect.
You have to adapt to do the let them score on turn three or four.
And
force them to score, but you let them score.
I think that's pretty much it, because you can't rely on that two-turn option anymore, because all I have to do is blitz down one werewolf and just scream the others. Sure, they can try and jump, I guess. That's a thing. But to me, it seems a lot more difficult to two or three-turn with a necro team than it is now, which, you know, it isn't the easiest team to do it with, but you've got options, and, you know... If a Wraith goes forward into scoring range, I don't even have to token base it. It can't score.
Yeah, I think the thing with Necro was always that, yeah, whites were never your go-to answer, but they were always very, very, very useful if something went wrong. Like, if you need someone to get the ball and pass it down the field, or, you know, chuck it to the next guy up, or make a nice handoff play or something. Well, then
I would always love having an Agi-4 white. You have absolutely no reason to ever take an Agi up on them.
And what can actually pass on a Necro team now? Is the other question. Like, because passing access is limited, isn't it?
Ghouls can on a 4+, so, I mean, that largely rules out two turns anyway.
Yeah, it's a rough old change for Necro. Whereas Lizards...
To be fair, thinking about that, that probably rules out two turns for any team that doesn't have a thrower.
Pretty much.
Well, like, if you've got enough faster players, like Lizards, like Skinks,
kick.
You've got enough
Kick
skinks.
Would be a priority, though.
Yeah, you just get Kick and you put it deep, and then suddenly you're... I think what it will do is unless you're playing against a team that has specifically throwers and catchers, you're just not going to be as scared about scoring on turn 7.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, it doesn't feel like you're such a mandatory stall anymore, is what you're saying. Now, I kind of wanted to transition into Blood Bowl 3 a little bit, because obviously we've been off the radar in terms of Rebel Alliance for a season, and a lot of information's come about. And obviously we're getting closer to the release of Blood Bowl 3. I don't know, when is the official release? Do we know yet?
There isn't one, but the one rumour I've seen would be the last weekend of March.
So pretty soon. Like, in the grand scheme of things. Like,
yeah,
the season away.
I think it would be the last Thursday or Friday of March. So, the beta would be, I don't know, February?
If they're planning to use the beta to actually, like, test stuff and base, like, changes and fixes on feedback, they're going to need some time to do that as well. So it's got to be at least a month out from launch, if not more. You'd assume, right?
You would think so.
Otherwise, they're just using it as... It's not really a beta. It's just as like a pre-launch, get the hype going kind of scenario, which is not really what they should be used for.
Yeah, but that also doesn't work if it's rubbish.
Well, yeah, true. It
has the opposite effect.
Very, very true. So, we've been obviously having a lot of questions from people wanting to know what's going on with Rebel. And it is definitely something we've thought about at length. Now, we're not going anywhere in terms of the Blood Bowl 2 Rebel. And there's certainly, like, people were saying, well, what's the point of me re-rolling? Because I'm only going to have one more season with this team and then we'll be on Blood Bowl 3, right? And it's like...
You re-roll and go for the Stunty Cup.
Well, you could do that, or you could re-roll with a longer team aim in mind, because we're not just going to go, right, Blood Bowl 3 is out, Rebel doesn't exist anymore. In its current form.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen people talk like that too, though, in the last, like, even
Yeah, that's
two
why
seasons.
I wanted to say something. I felt it was important to to dispel that rumor, because I know you're not going over to Blood Bowl 3, right, Fed? So
I don't know. I mean, I'll buy it. I'll play it. I'll try it. I am super skeptical that I'll actually switch to it.
I quite like a lot of like the graphical changes and stuff. I think I quite like the new style.
It looks nice. Can't complain with how it looks.
I don't complain about how Blood Bowl 2 looks.
Yeah, no, I would not disagree with that. But in terms of, you know, Blood Bowl 3, I've got nothing to complain about in terms of the art department. The art for Blood Bowl 2 was always nice.
I'm really happy that they've gone back to the Blood Bowl 1 player armor upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
That's been one of the biggest things we said Blood Bowl 2 was missing, right? So it does sound like they're listening to us on some level. Because it was a huge mistake not putting that in Blood Bowl 2. And they've rectified that, so hopefully they've listened to some of the other things we've said was a huge mistake. Well,
you know, there's lots of nice little things. There seems to be, like, racial apothecaries. Racial cheerleaders. All look good.
Yeah, you say nice little things, but if they've got different rules, it's going to upset Superfed.
Exactly, yeah. I think we'll see, you know, presumably when it... The thing that I need to see as much as anything is the league tools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they can't get worse, right? Like, that's the one thing we've got going for us. They couldn't make them much worse.
Well, I need to know what we can do. Can we get rid of the redraft thing? Can we... If we have to have redraft, do we have options about setting it at different levels for different divisions? What are our options? Because, you know, I can come up with systems where if you're in the top division, you get more redraft budget to work with than if you're in the lower divisions. That makes sense thematically. And gives
it's
you an incentive to get up to the top divisions.
Which is the only real experience we have with redrafting currently is Clan, where redrafting is a fundamental part of
season. Like I say, it would give you an incentive to get towards the top divisions because you would have to fire less of your team, which is good.
Or let you buy more shiny things next time around.
Yeah. But obviously we need to see whether if that's not implemented, then we need to work out what we can do. The one thing I do, and I think me and you have talked about this, Metal, but we're talking about the season length.
Yes, very much so. And I know you've not been privy to this, Fed, but I'm pretty sure once we... posit our argument, you'll probably agree with us.
Interesting.
The argument is, does it need to be as long as it is?
The argument for me, the biggest argument for me being, Blood Bowl 3 is launching with, what, 12 teams? Which means that there's going to be at least another 12 teams coming, because they intend to have at least, what, 24 teams in the rules? Maybe more? And if they want to kind of follow the pattern of Blood Bowl 2 and not be seen as a downgrade, they kind of have to keep up with at least what Blood Bowl 2's got. But if there's going to be a fairly quick release cadence, do we want to be tied into like a 13-week league plus 19 weeks without being able to change team? If a team comes out in the middle of the season, it's just an instant feels bad, man, that you've got to last like... potentially another 10 weeks.
Yeah, and then you get mass rerolls into that team.
Yeah, which we happened during Blood Bowl 2 with like Nurgle and stuff, right?
Yeah. I think the other thing as well is it is a Rebel season is quite long.
Also, there'll be less coaches.
But I mean, it's not only that, you know, we are aware that, you know, I know in Division 1, Sean Mann, for example, has lost a few pieces this season. And his Nurgle team is playable, but it's not playable if he lost a key piece in week one of next season, which happens sometimes because dice happen, right? But it is a long season to commit to if you lose, if you're going 13 weeks, then plus another 6 weeks of off season without being able to play your main Rebel team to a standard that you want to. That is a long time.
I mean, potentially, once we've got a few seasons of Blood Bowl 3 under our belt, we may look to extend this, you know, if based on feedback and people's opinions and ideas and stuff, we may look to realign the seasonal lengths. But I think with it being a new rule set that we're not all 100% familiar with, some pretty major changes to the start of new teams. Teams not being there at launch that are going to be there later. Not knowing how much of a pickup it's going to have in terms of people wanting to come and play in Blood Bowl 3 Rebel. I think it does make sense to run shorter seasons. And I can't see too many arguments about maintaining the season length compared to the benefits we gain from cutting it down, at least initially.
Yeah, I think I've said before in the past, if a change was going to happen, the time to do it would be when Blood Bowl 3 comes out and starts with that new league. I don't know. I still think in terms of Blood Bowl 2, we probably leave it where it is. But
I don't believe the Blood Bowl 2 isn't league as it is.
No, yeah. But
what I'd want to do is I'd want to use Blood Bowl 3 essentially as a test. I think I've got a target figure in my head, which would be 10 teams a division. So we cut it down from 14 teams to 10. And then we see how it works and we leave Blood Bowl 2 as it is.
Oh yeah, my intention isn't to reinvent the wheel in Blood Bowl 2. Like I'm really happy with where Rebels are. Like the last, I think, major change we implemented in Rebel was the Challenger Cup, and that's gone down very well. Yeah, like
I'd say the last change is the training grounds and the plans, but
yeah, but it all plays towards the playoffs and Challenger Dream, right? Like
yeah, I like that format for sure, and the tier system as opposed to the standard number divs.
I think we're in a really good spot, and I don't think I've seen much. What was that word? Much feedback. I don't even know where that's from, that accent, but it's not mine.
From the subject of the Challengers Cup, by the way, have you seen the trophy?
I have not. What have we got?
I like
if
the
you,
top.
If you pop to G-Man, and then look at Carnette, he's got a Challengers Cup trophy now.
Is it nice? Has been assigned.
Yeah, he's 12th in Division 1 of G-Man.
I'm not going to lie. I've just gone past Mr. Mordurus Racing's Kislev, and I love the beer league. The dancing pint glass is very, very good. I am a fan. Oh, what is that? There's so many trophies on there now. Where is he?
I just particularly like the lid.
That's cool, aren't it? Yeah, awesome.
Well, you can see what it is, right?
Yes, I see. There's some cool trophies. Actually, having looked on this, there's some cool trophies. I love the Imperium ones as well. I like playing cards.
I figured it was important to embrace the Sippy Cup thing now with Challengers Cup, because I think at first we were sort of... I know I was kind of against it being called that because it felt like it was people insulting the idea of it, but... I think the Challengers Cup's proved its worth now.
I think people it was originally people using that as a way to talk about how it wasn't as competitive and it wasn't as serious business, and it was kind of like the consolation loser's prize and you kind of sucked if you went there kind of thing. And I think that was all from people who didn't quite see it the way we saw it, and then it bore out to be exactly how we saw it, right?
Like, yes.
And we were like, for want of a better term, we were right, boys. The Challenger Cup is pretty damn useful, and it's pretty good. Admittedly, we had a few teething problems, like we didn't necessarily need tickets for Div 1 coaches, and we got rid of that very quickly based on feedback. And, you know, we are good at people telling us that some stuff is a bit daft and us actually listening to it if it's presented in a, you know, not an you're an idiot, stop it kind of way.
Yeah, I think with Blood Bowl 3, I'll draft up a structure for it.
Yeah, we're going to exist, but the point, I think, the big takeaway is it's going to be slightly different, but it's going to pretty much have the same feel as Rebel. It's going to be the same community. It's going to have the same kind of ideals. It's just going to maybe be a bit like different numbers, you know, the numbers and mechanics-wise, the behind-the-scenes stuff. Might be slightly different depending on what tools we've got available, and obviously we'll be using the new rules, but we'll be here, but we'll still be here in Blood Bowl 2 as well. So potentially you could run a Blood Bowl 3 team and a Blood Bowl 2 team and play in Rebel at the same time, because for the first time ever, you can play two teams in Rebel, because technically one of them's a Blood Bowl 3 Rebel and one of them's a Blood Bowl 2 Rebel, because they're not playing for the same thing, they're not playing for the same tournament, they're not.
I think the nice situation we've got is I think as a league, we've built up enough sort of goodwill with at least a good section of the community that we can largely, whatever we put out for Blood Bowl 3, most people will just say, yeah, it's Rebel, okay, I want to play in that regardless, which is nice. But obviously, being us, we want it to be good. So we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, we want it to be the best we can make it, given what the tools we've got available to us, right?
Well, I want it to be good. Yeah, not even the best event we can get with the tools. Even if we can't get the tools, we'll work out a system.
We've been very good at building our own tools to support it. Like, Rebel.net is incredible, but and Rebel wouldn't be as good as it was without that, yeah? So, we will work around the problems. We just need to know what the problems are.
Yeah, so from our point of view, we're very much just waiting to see what we get, what we can do, what we can build, and then we'll work hard to devise our structure from there. And you can all roll Black Orcs.
I don't know why people want to play the Black Orcs. They're really not that great. It's worse lizards.
Yeah, but I think everyone's gone, they're interesting. Ooh, new thing.
I know why I would want to play them if I played tabletop, and it's because their miniatures are incredible. The Black Orc team on tabletop it looks wonderful. It's lovely. And obviously that's not something that at all is on your radar, Fed, so that would make it harder for you to understand, I guess. But yeah, absolutely, in terms of the tabletop, I can understand why Black Orcs are getting a lot of hype. And I don't know if a lot of that is just transferring across to people just going, ooh, it's shiny and new and we haven't had this before kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll be
That's
here.
All we can really say on that.
I don't really have much else to say without going into a big long tirade on Blood Bowl 3, and the rules.
I mean,
and we didn't really want to do that today.
Well, no, but you can have an opinion.
I am skeptical, is my opinion.
Yeah, me
too. I can't see why Fed wouldn't want to wizard his opponent's player into a frog. I can't see why he would find that silly at all.
What's going to happen, though, is all these weird, low percentage, bad strategy plays are totally going to work against me. And, my gutter runner will get turned into a frog on a 5+. And I'll just be like, oh, well, I guess I lose now. GG.
I think you can still, if you've got a big guy, I think you can throw the frog at things.
There you go. Reason for a rat over. Getting a rat over to counter the frog meta.
They don't have throw team meta, I don't think.
But they should get it. Throw frog. Throw the podcast frog. There it is.
There we go.
There it is. Throw the podcast frog. Not in the chat, because so far
I am so excited for somebody to mod the frog into the Rebel podcast frog.
Oh god, it's going to happen. Because, have you seen what Hero to Sakara has been running in your Christmas thing?
Yep.
He took, because obviously your thing was that Norse have their Yeti who's Santa Claus, right? Mm-hmm. So he took Wilhelm Cheney's body, gave it a red coat, and then gave it a Yeti's head, and replaced his Yeti model in-game with that. And it does look very Christmassy. I love the red coat. It's pretty awesome. It's going to happen, right? I don't think it's going to take long before Lumi gets into that code and goes, I can do things.
I hope. I would hate to go backwards.
Well, they're talking about API access already, aren't they? They're talking about... Because I know Major Byte has been speaking to their dudes
Hashtag their dudes.
Hashtag their dudes. Not my dudes, their dudes. And they are becoming Major Bytes dudes. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but I know he's been speaking to them and going, look, API access, make it happen.
Yeah, because I think what we very cleverly did is we managed to get pretty much all of the moderators on the Blood Bowl 3 Discord to be Rebel admins.
Well, not all of them, but there's more than a couple kicking about.
We have enough. I think we have influence in there now. So obviously, Hero and is it McNugget? How did McNugget get that job?
They don't know him very well.
Diligence.
Well, I mean, as we previously said, he knows how to do a lot with not very much.
Yeah, and also they don't know him.
So, yeah, we will see what we... But obviously that means that we've kind of got the ear of some important people.
Well, like I say, Majorbyte has been speaking to them and has kind of gone, what kind of stuff do we need? And we've all went, all of the good admin stuff ever, please. because, please, don't have a bad admin. I'm so scared that it's just going to suck. Because... You know these guys. They may play the game, right? They maybe play Blood Bowl, but they probably don't admin leagues. Do they? They don't admin leagues.
I can't imagine why they would.
Because they're too
probably not a lot
coding Blood Bowl, I assume. I don't know. I'm scared. I'm so worried about... It's so silly, because I'm not worried about whether the game will function or, you know, what team I'm going to play or any of that stuff or whether it'll have bugs and stuff. I'm just really worried that we're going to get saddled with, yes, we're going to make Blood Bowl 3 on Rebel on Blood Bowl 3, and then we go in and it's a worse admin UI than we currently have, which is incredibly difficult.
I honestly would be kind of impressed if they managed that.
You would kind of be, but there's a lot that we've suffered through, despite, rather than because of, isn't there? And I don't want more, because obviously if Rebel isn't going anywhere, there'll be Rebel admins for Blood Bowl 2 and Rebel admins for Blood Bowl 3, and I think Fed would be incredibly smug sat there being a Rebel admin for Blood Bowl 2 if the Rebel admin for Blood Bowl, if the UI for Blood Bowl 3 is worse.
It'll be all
nobody wants a smug Fed.
You would be sat there going, I told you it was going to be bad. Told you it'd suck. Don't give him the power. Don't give him the power to say, I told you so. He has it enough anyway. You do. Anyway, right. Blood Bowl 3, yes, we've talked about that. We've talked about that, we're going to exist. People should hopefully stop asking the same questions.
They won't.
Yeah, well, you see, I'm hoping because it's on a podcast, it avoids the Rebel coaches'
inability. How many times did we ever have things that get discussed on a podcast not come up again?
No, I know, but at the same time, they can't tell me that they're Rebel coaches so they don't read because they don't need to read because they.
What's more likely to happen is they're to get angry. I don't know how or why they would get angry by this news, but it's news and it's coming from the podcast, so they're going to get angry.
They're going to shout at us again, aren't they?
Yeah.
Is there anything else happening? We've talked about playoffs. We've talked about the new season sign-ups will be going up really soon. I believe Major Bytes working on it this weekend. Minus final, that's news. Zod, have you done anything else over Christmas or whatever? Is there any other off-season nonsense?
Chaos Ladder's open. We've got some rules behind that. It lets you play Chaos Cup whenever you want. That's quite good fun. Surge is tryharding again and has rolled a Mighty Blow Strength 4 Wardancer, so is largely winning all of the games. So anybody who can kill that gets my... Well, I don't know what word I'm looking for here. I'll be impressed. I'll be happy if you do that. What else have we got? Winter Camp is coming. So you can use a copy of your team to play against copies of other Rebel teams, and you know it's just basically a practice environment. Other than that, it is largely playoffs and Challengers Cup. We'll be streaming some games, lots of games.
We're going to be streaming a lot. Week one is going to be mental.
Good thing I'm not allowed to do anything else, eh?
Well, to be fair, yeah, you are kind of locked in. So, are they not locked in here with us? We're locked in here. No, they're not. Something.
Something.
Yeah, Watchman quote. I haven't done this for a while. I'm not as snappy as usual. What was the Watchman quote?
Something.
You're not locked in here. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me, kind of thing.
There That's you go. We got
yeah. It was. It's been a while, all right? So many people are going to be screaming at their podcast listening devices of choice. I always like when people listen. You can tell when people are listening to the podcast and their thought process, because I'll get a ping from someone going, oh, by the way, that thing you were talking about was this. And I was like, yeah, if you kept listening to the end of the podcast, I'd fix it by then. I'd have remembered. And it always makes me chuckle.
Look, there is a need. I would go as far as to call it a need amongst people to be right. They must be right.
Why we argue
in Twitch chats and Super Bowl streams about whether that play was 1.4% better than this play. We have to be right.
Blood Bowl coaches do like to be right.
You know what's more fun than being right, in my case? Proving someone wrong.
Being wrong and just winning anyway, because dice can happen? I don't know.
Yeah. They're all fun.
Being right and having a Minotaur, that sucks. No, that's terrible. It's not fun. Trust me.
No, that's not fun. You don't want to be right about something that you thought was going to go bad.
Can I sell my Minotaur if I last a full season with it? I don't want to play it in high divisions. It's gonna get me killed.
It has to die.
Yeah, but if I sell it, I could sell it to a hamburger factory and then it would die.
Nope. Rules is rules. You could reroll from Joffs.
I think you should sell it, Metal.
Obviously. I mean, you could go for the... You could do that season of Goblins you promised everyone since season 6.
I haven't promised anyone a season of Goblins. See, people heard me say the line, and this was the specific line they heard me say. I like to play Goblins a lot. I have played Goblins a lot in the past. And everyone heard, I am immediately going to reroll the Goblins. You know the other team that I said I played a lot in the past? Wood Elves. I played a ton of Wood Elves. Nobody has asked me to play Wood Elves. Weird, that.
They want to see you lose.
They want to see me suffer.
Yes.
Have we got anything else?
I don't know. Is there anything else that's happened, Fed? Has anything else gone on around Rebel recently?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there is one thing I wanted to say, actually, as an announcement here, and there'll be an announcement on Discord, and I'll put it on the subreddit as well. Yes, I'm very aware that I'm behind a bit on dishing out prizes. I'm about a season behind, at least. It's a little longer on some things. To be fair, this has been a pretty rough season in terms of real life stuff going on. Like, I had COVID. That really sucked. A lot. So it's kind of thrown me off a bit. And being, locked in and dealing with constantly... I don't want to get too political because we don't like doing politics, but let's just say I don't know if our government actually knows what the tier system is supposed to accomplish. And just keeps randomly changing tiers. I feel like they've got, like Red Dwarf, where they have different coloured bulbs for different colours of alerts. I feel like somebody just really likes changing the bulb when it comes to the tier system.
I mean, I assume they just roll a D6.
Yeah, I could get behind that. It's probably a D4, really, isn't it? Because there is 4 tiers. There was only 3 tiers for a bit, and then they added a 4th tier.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, again, without wanting too much in politics, the system had 3 tiers, and then they didn't even anticipate how badly they could have got it wrong that they had to introduce another tier.
Yeah, the system had 3 tiers, and then they went, you're in tier 4, and went, but there's only 3 tiers. No, there's 4 now.
Okay. Yes, here's a 3-tiered system that covers all possibilities. Oh, wait, it's gone so badly, we need a 4th one.
So let's just say it's been pretty tough getting stuff like prizes and things organised.
Congratulations to the Big O, by the way, who largely seemed to be COVID-free in the most part.
Yeah,
anyone in New Zealand?
New Zealand doing pretty well. Smashed it. Yeah, no.
I guess also big up to America, who largely don't care, from what I've seen.
Ouch. Let's not go any further on that topic. No. Yes, I know I'm behind on prizes. If I owe you a prize, some people, I actually am at the point where I owe them two prizes. I believe I owe Dr. Nick like a playoff prediction prize, and I owe him what was it? The Huge Jackman Invitational prize.
Oh, playoff predictions. I'll do the bracket thing. I don't know if Monkey Chunks is
Monkey Chunks isn't. One. Monkey Chunks is actually taking some time off Blood Bowl 2. So Monkey Chunks isn't going to be around at all for his usual playoff bracket prediction. I'm going right. to see if there's anything we can do to fill that gap. But
well, there's always my unofficial bracket, which...
I like the unofficial bracket.
There's a very real chance that the unofficial bracket might become the only bracket, in which case I'm going to offer a prize. Instead of 1 to 3 mugs, I am going to offer whoever can come top of Zord's unofficial, official, unofficial bracket prediction thing, whoever gets the most points across both playoffs and... You do playoffs and challenges on it, yeah?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Whoever gets the most points
before it starts.
Playoffs and challenges added together, the one guy who comes top, I will buy a copy of Blood Bowl 3.
Oh, hello. Hello. I best start cursing people.
I don't have... like I say, we don't have access to Monkey Chunks' usual bracket prediction thing.
You're gonna have to gag me for 6 weeks here. I'm not going to be allowed to say anything. Because if I start cursing people and it costs someone a copy of Blood Bowl 3...
The season after I win the unofficial competition.
Well, yeah, but last season there wasn't, like, an official, almost unofficial rumoured release date for Blood Bowl 3, was there? It's going to be on the horizon probably before the next playoffs.
I think the thing I like about it is that it is good fun to try and predict it all at the start, but you also don't have to keep remembering to do it. You don't
That's
have a risk
exactly
of...
exactly why I like this one better.
Yeah, I like it for that too. But also, you could potentially lose a copy of Blood Bowl 3 to Hindus' cat.
Yeah, well, the thing is, your odds are lower of winning because you are kind of just playing a lottery at the start, but it's better. I think it's better that way than losing out because you forgot to do it 1 week.
Yes, it would suck to go, oh, I was busy on that. And also, because the way brackets work, there was games being played, and then there was games being played for the next round within like a few hours kind of thing, and it was impossible to get a full bracket prediction anyway, and Monkey Chunks used to have a nightmare with it. So I think this system currently is better, and I think a copy of Blood Bowl 3 across, like, you added together your challenges and... playoff performance predictions is pretty fair, I think. Although, again, you could have the shame of losing a copy of Blood Bowl 3 to Hindus' cat or Steak Mitten's girlfriend.
The good news is that because the season is finished tomorrow, right?
Yep.
I should be able to have those brackets ready to go on Monday, because I'll know the full bracket and I'll not be doing it at the last minute. Which means that you'll have like 3 whole days to get your brackets in.
Yeah, and also it gives you a little bit of time to scout, see what people are up to.
Yeah, so there you go, you can do it proper.
Look at the teams, you can take it seriously, you can serious business it.
And then get it all wrong and...
Yeah, and then watch Warecaster dice the life out of whoever is playing in the first round as his Mighty Blow Ghoul just goes off and ends some poor guy's team. And then you just end up with Warecaster just having ruined your entire bracket because he was the guy you thought was the other guy was the guy you thought you were going to win, and it's hilarious for everybody but you. But
that's how that works.
It's you come on, Fed. You know it's exactly how that works
every season.
I've basically said, and I put out. I don't know if you guys caught this conversation. I put out on my dudes a few weeks back. And went, what kind of competition that isn't just Blood Bowl performance based should I run a competition for to see who gets a copy of Blood Bowl 3? And they were the worst assistants in the universe. They were just awful at it. They just didn't provide me with any meaningful input. And I think, long story short, the consensus was that I should win it because I clearly was the smartest at coming up with competitions.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is called nepotism.
I think it's just selfishness if you're buying a gift for yourself.
Well, yeah. I mean, I probably deserve a copy of Bloodborne 3, don't I, Rebel? So I'm
sure nepotism would be, you know, you giving it to your kid.
Yeah, alright, fair. Either way, it's abuse of power.
But buying something for yourself just largely sounds like basic capitalism.
Yeah, but I'm using someone else's money, technically, so...
Oh.
So it's capitalism with extra...
That also sounds like capitalism.
Yeah, it does.
Or government, either way.
Yeah. Politics, boys, politics. yeah, of course, talking about prizes and prize money and stuff, I have to say I fully understand that we haven't been around for a bit, so I get that Patreon support has waned a lot and the money coming in is significantly lower, which is unfortunate. It means we're dipping into our savings a bit. We're still doing all right for prize money, but...
I think it's fair, Metal. We've not been providing any service.
No, I did say...
That's where I am.
I did say I fully understood before I went on. And I'm not going to suddenly come out and go, we're back, here's one episode, please give us Patreon money again. I'm going to say, you know, if you have supported, if you have, for want of a better word, kept the faith, or more than likely forgotten that you'd signed up to a recurring payment.
Don't I owe some ads?
You definitely owe some ads, yeah.
Oh, I need to look at that up. Yeah.
Did you ever do Schutenheim's ad? Did Schutenheim get his? He did.
I know he sent something to me, but I don't remember, did I create it or not?
I'll have to look to see if I've got a copy of it. I don't remember.
It turns out the Rebel Alliance podcast is a televangelist.
No, it's not, because I'm not saying that they should give me money right now. I'm saying if you were one of those people who went, well, I'm not really getting value for money, so I'm going to stop, that's fine. I fully understand. It's been a very hard year anyway, even at the best of times. So even if we had been keeping up performance, I'd understand if people let it slip.
I know I did the vocal work because I can remember the orc voice that I was doing for Shooty's ad, so I know I recorded it. I think I've got it.
I'll see if I can dig it up, and if I have, I'll play it at the end of this episode.
Here's what we'll do. That's a deal. Give us money and Zod won't curse you in the playoffs.
Isn't that just buying Blood Bowl 3 with extra steps?
That'd be like me saying, give me money and I will lose to you in the playoffs.
No, you won't.
Because that totally didn't happen.
But anyway, if you were on the boat of, I'm not really getting value for money yet, don't just go, put one episode out, so we're back in. Right? Because obviously, you know, unless you want to, but you don't. I'm not expecting you to suddenly do that. Give us time, let us rebuild our cadence and our, get back into practice, because I know tonight has been a bit, it's not been our usual standard. Has it been our usual standard? Is this our usual standard?
I think it has.
Yeah. Pretty much has, hasn't it? Oh, God. Maybe we need to improve the standard. But it's been fun.
If anything, very little in this episode is going to descend into a massive week-long argument.
That's a complete lie, and you know it. We spoke. Superfed had an opinion.
It's going to happen.
I had an opinion that was almost but not entirely the same, so therefore people are going to look into it and predict that I actually hate Superfed with a passion. I mentioned that he lost the... I actually didn't. I think I did very well to not scare him away by not talking about how he lost the playoffs to Big O. Sorry, Fed. It was going to get mentioned once, right?
It was a thing.
The people want me to mention it at least once, but I'm not going to rub it in because I watched that game and it was a hard watch for everybody, because it was...
I knew it going into it. I knew exactly what I was getting.
And I'm not trying to minimise or take away from Sebstar. The guy won the damn playoffs. I mean, you can't fault him for that. But a lot of the times in Blood Bowl, when you're rolling really hot dice, all you have to do is not make a mistake and ride the dice, right, you know. And he did what he needed to do in that regard.
He rode him hard.
But you know what? That's a separate nod. We've talked about this in the past, how if you've got good dice, don't play stupid is a valid Blood Bowl strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all going to have them eventually. There are games where you're going to walk in and Kaz half your opponent's team by turn three. Just don't start doing vanity passes afterwards. Andy. No, sorry.
Should we do the last bit?
Should we do the last bit? The bit everyone's been waiting for? The bit that's probably...
Oh, is it time?
Is it time? I've got a joke. Have you got jokes? I didn't ask at the start of the episode. That's how out of practice I am. I forgot to ask if you'd prepared.
I've got something. I don't know if I want to call it a joke.
Okay.
You go first, though, right?
Me go first?
Am I going first? I feel like I'd never go first.
I feel like you should, just because you made such a deal of...
I did. I set myself up for this one. So, you know, Christmas was last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did Darth Vader know what Luke got him for Christmas?
I know this one. I'm going to let you have it, Fed.
He felt his presence.
It's an oldie, but it's a goodie. Okay,
hasn't been done on the podcast, though.
True. I mean, we don't tend to have them around Christmas. I think your timing was perfect in that regard. I was considering a festive one myself, but I went a bit off the side and went, and I'm going to ask you, why are military snipers so great at amateur dramatics? Because they have great range.
Nice. Okay. I guess that's me.
That would be you. Traditionally, you're the one who hasn't gone, so yes, right. It would be you.
A man walks into a bar. Lucky bastard.
Only relevant this year, yeah. Fair enough. Fair. I know you're missing your pub, Zod. I am, yeah.
That's where I come up with my ideas half the time.
In the pub?
We know.
Yeah,
yeah. There is a tinge of drunken madness to some of them. It explains a lot, actually, I think. Yeah, so, with that, I don't even know what episode we're on. That's where I'm at. Like, this is episode...
Shot in the dark, I'm going to say 108?
I don't think it's that high.
Didn't you say at the start?
I said it was 100 and something.
100 and a bit.
100 and a few.
100 and who?
Yeah, that.
104.
That's what I said.
104. You know what? 104. It's still, you know, episode 2021 number one. And it's in the bag. It's done. We're finished. We're done here. So with that,
it's for series two
for 2021. We are 100% on track.
Yeah, we've got 100. Remember when we had a 100% record at the start of 2020 and everything looked so bright, Fed? We'd done like months where we hadn't dropped a single week. Oh, when we younger.
Did everything go wrong because you stopped doing the podcast?
No, I think we stopped doing the podcast because everything went wrong, but I'd hate to commit either way. But with that, I'm going to leave you by saying thank you once again, Soup Fed, for joining us in our weekly podcast. No, it's not going to be. It's, like I said, we're not going to be weekly. It'd probably be looking week 3-ish of playoffs. Maybe after the third week when it starts to quiet down a bit, would be a good time to maybe do a mid-playoff podcast, do you reckon? Yes? No? Maybe?
We can try. Who knows? I might be eliminated by that point.
Would that increase or decrease your chances of wanting to do a podcast?
That I couldn't say. if I am in the playoffs, then this is one of the few windows where I get to play G-Man teams, so that would definitely limit things.
That's fair, but I'm sure we could work around your schedule match and not talk about it at all for fear of letting Harry Zod curse you.
Right.
Maybe we could give you that week off. I don't know. Maybe me and Zod will do
it. Yeah, we'll see.
But I certainly am going to try and be here after about the third week of playoffs, and then we'll be back probably at the end of playoffs, once everything, all the dust settled and we've got a new season started, and then we're going to try and start finding a pattern and a bit of a schedule, and we're going to see what we can do. That's the commitment I'm making to people now. Fed, if you could join me in that commitment, that'd be fantastic, but obviously you already haven't. Yep. So
do what I can.
You'll do what you can. That's all we can ask for. And thank you very much. It was very short notice. It was a couple of days ago, and I messaged him and went, does anyone want to come on the podcast really hungover and just do a podcast randomly on the 2nd of January? And I love the fact that they both went, yeah, that sounds fun. Like, credit to you both for that. So thank you, Fed. I hope you have the best of luck in playoffs, and I'm looking forward to to seeing what you bring to the table, because it's always fun. And Mr. Haringzord, thank you so very much, dude, for you popping in as well, man. And I hope you have a great Challenger Cup.
You're very welcome. Yeah, I'm up against, as I said, Norse, who I traditionally, they're a bit of a bogey team for me for some reason. And that is potentially into Kislev, who I am very much a bogey team for me. So what could go wrong?
Don't say that. You never say that. Fed, what did you say your opponent was? Who are you playing?
Eliad's
High Elves. Yes. So
High Elves are rubbish. Should be fine.
Rats versus High Elves.
Should be a good game, at least. It should be entertaining.
I think so.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing it, and hopefully, undoubtedly, you're going to put it at a terrible time for me, because you always do.
No, he's G-Man. It's probably this time next week. Unless okay. it's... Well, actually, you know what I did? I did message him. I'm going to try and get the first game. I'm going to try and make availability on Wednesday.
Okay, that would be exciting.
Okay.
Because you've got Zod, you've got the first... The current first game is Zinj, right?
Versus... It's 2300 on Wednesday, but we'd like sooner if we can.
Who is it, Zinj?
Yeah.
Zinj and 130.
Yeah. I'm aiming for sooner than that one.
I'd like that. That'd be cool. That'd be a really good opener, I think. Like, you're the last game of the last playoffs and the first game of this playoffs. That's pretty cool.
That's how the NFL does.
Hmm.
You know, we should do everything after the NFL.
Sorry, Zod.
I got through this whole podcast without mentioning that I won 7-0 this season.
Yeah, I saw that game. It was an experience, right?
Yeah. I'm just amazed that I did that. There you go.
And he says he can't play. If he wins challenges, do I get to put him back on the top 40 yet? And I'm going to leave you on that bombshell. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been... Rebel Alliance, I hope you've enjoyed the show. Remember to click the follow button on whatever format you listen to us on. We're on SoundCloud. We don't have an update on our SoundCloud. I need to talk to Cake and Grad about getting that updated. We're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on Podomatic, all of those usual things. Thank you very much for bearing with us. It's been bit messy. I won't do the usual Patreon outro because, again, I don't want to feel like people feel like I'm shaming them. But if you have continued to back us on Patreon to fund the Rebel prizes, it's super appreciated. Because I'm going to need all of so much of that money over the next week when I send out all of those prizes. So you're paying for people to get mugs and drink tea, which is you're clearly superior humans for allowing that to happen. Thank you. Very, very much, everyone. We've been the Rebel Alliance. Stay classy, my dudes.